Now, I wonder, what's the most enduring thing that you've ever done? So something that maybe has left you feeling like you wanted to give up, but you kept pushing through and you kept going, even when it got really tough. So when I was at school in Dunluce, at the end of the year, they would have had an 18-mile charity cycle. And one year, I decided that I was going to give that a try. Now, before then, I had never cycled 18 miles. I wasn't even sure I could cycle 18 miles. And after that, I have not cycled 18 miles since that day. But one thing that struck with me was that feeling of thirst, that overwhelming sensation of just needing a drink of water. The feeling of my mouth getting drier and drier to the point where it was so dry and my mind was telling me, you need water. And that if I didn't get that drink of water, that I'd have to stop. That I couldn't keep going without it. But I kept pushing on, and eventually I turned a corner and saw that joyful sight of a teacher standing there with the arm outstretched, holding a glass of water, inviting me to come and to drink the water and to be nourished with this water. And I think it's fair to say at that point that I took more than one glass of water, because as a teenager I hadn't prepared and thought, I'm cycling 18 miles, I might need a drink. So just seeing the joy of the teacher standing there holding that glass of water, inviting me to come to her. And this morning, I want to spend a little bit of time thinking about how we are invited to come to God. Our passage starts off this morning, come all you who are thirsty. God invites us to come to him and to know the hope, the love, and the mercy that is found in him. And so all throughout the Bible, we see an invitation for people to come to God, starting with love and anguish to Adam in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, but ending with the invitation from the Spirit and the bride who says, come, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. We are invited by God to enter into his promised blessing, the blessing that we receive through Jesus. So this morning, I want us to reflect on 3 points from the passage which shows how God invites us. And so firstly, God tells us, come to me, my ways are better. In verse 9, God tells the people through the prophet Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So most of you will know by now that I love watching football in my spare time. And one of the competitions that I love watching most is the FA Cup. Because in the early rounds of the FA Cup, you could find a team from the conference, which is one of the worst teams, or like one of the worst leagues, playing against a team in the Premier League, which is one of the better leagues, or the best league in the country. And so as a neutral, I can't help but support the underdog and hope that they'll pull off this massive victory over the better team, even though there's like at least 5 divisions in between them. We still hope the team that is lower will win. However, more often than not, what happens is the team that is better normally ends up winning because they have the better tactics and the better players. And our thoughts and actions are like that of the conference team, whereas God's are like that of the Premier League team. See, we are God's creation. God created the universe and everything in it, and he also created us in his image. And because we are made in God's image, we can relate to God's thoughts, but we can't master them. God's knowledge, wisdom, grace, mercy, love, and power are infinitely greater than we could ever hope to understand. In fact, they're not just greater, they are the best. But the difference between God and man is revealed not to discourage us, but not to discourage us from seeking him, but to humble us as we seek him. Because we can humbly rest in the knowledge that God knows best, that his plans and purposes are perfect. And although our hopes at times may be disappointed, and our plans may fail, and our expectations may be frustrated, God has a higher purpose, to which he is working, and as his children, we are part of that purpose. We are part of that eternal plan. And his thoughts, plans, ways, and works are all working together for good to those that are called according to his purpose. And secondly, God tells us, come to me. I want to have a relationship with you. All throughout the Bible, we see that God is a relational God. Firstly, we see it in the Trinity and how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit interact with each other. But we also see how God is relational with his people, starting with Adam and Eve in the garden, but working all the way through. God wanted to have a relationship with his people and to be with his people. And God loves us and wants us to have a relationship with him. In verse 1, we see the invite. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. God's invitation to know a relationship with him is universal. It is free and it is open to everyone. He wants us to seek him, and he mercifully loves and cares for all of us. He wants us to seek him whilst he may be found, and to call on him whilst he is near, to listen to him and to find the hope and joy that is found in him. Now, whenever you're watching TV, adverts are great at selling us something that is newer and bigger and better than the last thing, or the better than what we have. And in fact, most adverts normally have a catchy catchphrase that helps sell the product to us. But then once we've spent our money on it, we find that usually in a few months' time, there's something that is even better than what we've just bought. And we begin to want that more, because we're never truly satisfied. There's always something more. And when we're thirsty and we need a drink of water to help quench that thirst, we're not satisfied until we get a drink. And without Jesus in our lives, we are thirsty. We long for fulfillment and we long for something more. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 tells us that God has set eternity in the human heart. Only a relationship with Jesus can satisfy that hunger and desire. And so Jesus also invites us as well when he quotes from Isaiah 55 verse 1, and he quotes that in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, when he tells the people to come to him and in him find rest. And so as you come to worship this morning, if you found the last year or 15 months has left you feeling weary and burdened, take comfort that through a relationship with Jesus that you can come to him and in him find rest. And God helps us to grow deeper in our relationship with him through his Holy Spirit, which helps us to live more closely to him each day. Billy Graham tells us that the Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. The Holy Spirit helps us to have a relationship with God in a deeper and more personal way. Just like we constantly need to drink water to quench our thirst, the Holy Spirit helps us to spend more time with God, where we can be renewed, refreshed, and restored each day by reading his word and spending time talking to him in prayer. And finally, God tells us through the prophet Isaiah, come to me, I want to restore you. In verse 3, we read, give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. In Genesis, we see God creating a covenant with Abraham, that Abraham's descendants would be his people, a holy nation. And in doing this, God was raising up a distinct people for himself, who would not only know him, but walk in his ways. And God wanted his people to walk and act differently to those around them. But God's people were in exile because they were stuck in sin and waywardness. They kept turning away from God and doing their own thing. And so in 2 Samuel, we see how God makes another covenant with David, that through David's line would come a king that would lovingly and graciously rule for eternity, and that through that king, they wouldn't have to worry about sin anymore. And so even in our passage today, God's people are in exile, but God still speaks lovingly and truthfully to his people because he desires that they come to him and be restored back into his grace and favor. He longs for his righteous blessings to be upon his people so that they may go out in joy and be led forth in peace. So one of my favorite TV shows a few years back was a show called Money for Nothing. And the point of the show was a presenter would basically be waiting by a skip for people who were bringing items that they were getting ready to get rid of. They were throwing them out. And the presenter would be looking around, hoping to see an item that they could take away so that the item could be restored and be given new life. And then afterwards, the presenter would go back to the person and show them the new life that had been given to the item that they had gotten rid of. And so just like the presenter looking for an item to give new life, God wants to restore us and to give us new life through Jesus. Sin separates us from God. And so to fully accept the invitation to come to God, we are called to humbly repent and be restored by God through our relationship with Jesus. And last week, we heard from Isaac how the restoration starts at the cross. It is a gift from God that through God's love and mercy that we can know our relationship with God being restored. We receive the gracious offer of pardon and peace. And through Jesus' sacrifice, we can know that when we seek forgiveness, that our sin has been forgiven. That through repentance, we are transformed and given new life. New life that is full of joy, full of hope, and full of mercy, that is found only in God. Now, it doesn't mean that life will be easy, but it means that when we go through the challenges, that we can know that God is there with us. It is a merciful gift from a gracious God who loves and cares for us. And so the joy of being restored is that we can know that our sin is not held against us, that through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, our sin is completely forgiven, and that we can know the hope of an eternity with God in heaven. And so we are invited to be a part of God's kingdom, to be restored, and to be adopted into God's family, and to know the mercy and love of a gracious heavenly Father. When Jesus is the King of our heart, we can know that God is good, that he wants to have a relationship with us, and that he wants to restore us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love each one of us here so much. And Father, we thank you that you want us to come to you, that you want us to have a relationship with you, and that you want us to know the restoration that is found in you, that we are called to be a part of your kingdom, to be a part of your family. And Father, we pray that you may help us to know that more deeply as we go into the rest of our week. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.